9 o'clock hours here. We'll talk to Michigan head coach Sharon Moore coming up at 9:35. If you missed our college football playoff discussion, rewind Odyssey app, go back and grab it. We also talked about the Red Wings today and the Iser plan. Off course, if you missed that, it'll be podcasted later or rewind the Odyssey app. John, we're talking Tigers right now, kind of. We're talking about off-season additions, kind of. It bothers me that they've announced the premium seating upgrades. Maybe that's stupid. And people are saying such on the ticket text. It's ridiculous that Cookies is irritated by the premium seats. But I bring them up because it is a question of will there be follow through on the field?
So I think it's just completely two different issues. I think the upgrades at Comerica aren't going to take away from the amount of money that they are willing to spend or will spend. Whether they did this or not, Scott Harris is going to have a budget. Mm-hmm. I don't think this affects the budget.
Does it bother you? 248-539-9797. You guys are the paying customers. You guys will make the decisions. Does this bother you to see this announced before you see any off-season additions? When you see wider seats, more comfy seats, more expensive seats, before you see more expensive players and talent, does it bother you? Or is this a ridiculous, dumb hill? I die on plenty of them. Is this just the latest? Let's get to Kurt in Bloomfield Township. Kurt, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, good morning. I don't have a problem with them doing it before they make some changes or add some players to the team. They have time to do that, so that's a wait and see. But what I do have a problem with is I've got season tickets right down there behind home plate, and I've had them for a long time. And if we get displaced because of these seats, and we know we're already paying more this year regardless, I'm not going to be happy about that.
I agree. And I don't know how many have you, they haven't notified you yet that if you want to renew in the same area, you're going to have the same increase as the last caller. They haven't, you haven't had any of that communication with them?
No.
Okay. No. I don't know when that communication comes out or what it would be like, but we're talking about 350 new seats. They're bigger. They're better. They're badder.
They're luxurious.
They're luxurious. And I don't know if you're going to put in 350 of these seats, how many of the original are they going to have to take out?
Yeah, the footprint of it.
Right.
A couple texts. This one says, friend of mine is a season ticket holder and said that those seats will cost over $400 per ticket next year. So for the season, that's $35,000.
For one. Yeah, because the caller one that called in talked about he was paying $35,000 a year for four tickets.
Right.
And it was going to be, I don't remember the number, it was 200 some odd thousand for the same four tickets.
Right. No, I mean, this will price some people out.
Sure.
And you, like you said, it's going to be more corporate. It's going to be...
I would be surprised if it's not completely all corporate.
Probably will be. This one says, I don't consider the new seats from the Tigers as spending money. They will charge more money for these seats, and it will pad their wallets as profit. So this is, in his mind, not an investment in the team. This pays for itself.
Should. You would hope.
They'll price it accordingly. Yeah. I think there's smart people there. They'll price it so it pays for it. The problem is it's harder to do that with players. You're not guaranteed. Like, you build the seat, the heating and cooling technology is going to work. You pay a shortstop or a third baseman, you don't know if they're going to hit. There's more risk that comes with it, but you have to be willing to take those risks if you want to progress as an organization.
Right, but my point is I don't think that the improvements to the stadium comes out of the player budget. The perception, I get why you might be upset. I'm not sure why you're so upset, but the is that they're doing all of these investments. And we talked about it at the time. And again, I was not going to lose my mind over improved showers in Lakeland or a new video board, anything like that, because it's not going to take away from their ability to spend. What takes away from their ability to spend is their want to.
Yeah, the want to. I agree with that. I didn't say like Ilitch is going to go broke installing these seats and they're not going to be able to afford a third baseman. I think the money is there either way.
Yeah.
The money was there either way last offseason, too.
So why are you so upset about the seats?
Because they didn't do it last offseason. because the ownership group collectively has shown that they haven't wanted to invest financially in large chunks of money into this baseball team for several seasons. I mean, John, don't act like I'm the crazy person here to suggest that this team might not be as fully invested in the team as fans want them to be. I'm not the crazy person here.
That's the different conversation. Connecting these two seems to be the crazy part.
It's just the thing that pops up. You see, oh, this is what we're doing.
So when was a better time to do this?
After you have added players that make people excited.
Oh, so they
excited.
Have to do that before they make any improvements
to
the stadium.
If they want my public relations advice, yes. And I think they're paying customers also were frustrated with it too, John. I'm not making this up. This is not an issue I am creating out of thin air. They shared this. They got dunked on. People didn't like seeing it. And now you got apologists that want to make excuses for them. And I'm just not in the business of doing that. I am very clear of what I think this team should do this offseason, and I feel like I speak for the fans who also want to see real additions to this baseball team and don't want to see being charged more money for heating and cooling seats. That's not something people are asking. It's not something people want to spend money on. It's not something people want to see when you haven't invested in the product on the diamond first. That's all I'm saying.
How wild is it that that guy that called in who had that increase, he said it's 2006?
Yeah, he's been doing this.
He's been doing this for some bad baseball.
You're right.
That's a long time.
So he bought
it
at a good
time.
That's
a hell of a commitment.
06 was a good time to get in.
Sure.
And you thought it was the start of something. And really, he did get some good years up until, 2013-14 was the last playoff
year.
Yeah,
so a decade.
He got a good run, and then he really bit down hard for another decade waiting for this.
This is the year.
This is the year. 248-539-9797. Ticket Texture says, last year we got new scoreboard and TVs in the concourse. This year we got new seats. If the team wins, none of it matters. People will go to the games regardless. Texture says, Chris Ilitch is not an owner for the on-field experience. He's a bottom line type of guy and always will be. Texture says, I'll pay for premium seats once we get premium players. See, this is the type of thing that you get when you post this.
Yeah, but even if you have premium players, how many individuals are actually going to foot the bill for those premium seats?
You said it's only 300
it's
people.
It's corporate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim, you've got to be kidding me. If you think this spending on seats has any impact on free agency, I can't help you, brother. One has nothing to do with the other. It's an irrational take. Quit whining, you millennial loser. Now, why did you bring this one in here, Tom? Quit whining, you millennial loser. It doesn't bother me one bit. The offseason just started. Stop playing the victim and looking for things to cry about.
Freedom of speech.
This was announced 6 months ago. They just started the work on it.
Yeah, it was announced in June.
Yes, and it was met with similar feelings.
But here's the other thing. When you look at, and here's where I hope the Tigers, everybody involved, understands the impact of winning. The year-over-year attendance, and I just had the number of my computer reset, is, okay, so in 23, it was 1.6 million fans came to see the Detroit Tigers. In 24, obviously with a playoff run, it was nearly 250,000 more people.
It's a big deal.
If you win, they will come.
Well, that's what I've never understood about the businessman argument, because the teams that win, they sell out their ballpark. They get more ticket revenue. More people watch. You get better media rights deals. You sell more merchandise. Being a good business person would mean you'd want to win, right? Doesn't that tend to follow? Like, if you want to make the most money, you got to win. And to win in Major League Baseball with no salary cap, there is a pay-to-play element to this. The teams that win the World Series are top 10 payrolls. Don't have to get there overnight, but you got to make efforts in earnest to get there, to pay good players, not spending for the sake of spending, but it goes hand in hand. It's correlated. Good players make money. You got to pay them. That's how it works.
Well, but you could also go, I mean, some mental gymnastics involved here, but they're willing to charge more and create a better experience because they do plan on winning. And so if they plan on winning, they're going to have to be an investment in the player's side.
You know, I mean, yeah, that is a different way to look at it, is they're going to have it ready when they win.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they already did win, technically.
Yeah, seats are ready. So seats are ready at the start of this upcoming season, and the full experience will be ready sometime mid-season.
So the scoreboard got you Maeda, Canna, Flaherty. What's the premium seating going to get you, Jim?
Feeding it.
Well, From what you've told me,
it's Jake
You're
Berger.
Just feeding it.
It's Jake Berger is what'll get you. All right.
You're such a grumpy man.
We're going to talk about something else coming up next. How about that? Literally anything else. Sherrone Moore coming up at 9:35. Coming up next, AJ Hinch. John, how does he not win Manager of the Year? I think this is something you and I can complain about together. Maybe?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we could join forces on this
one. A unified front coming up next. All right, guys, it's football season, and you got to elevate your tailgating game with Moran Chevrolet. GM employees and immediate family members can lease a 2024 Silverado four-wheel drive LT crew cab for $239 a month. That's a 24-month lease, only $999 down. And that deal, it's what you get with Moran Chevrolet. It's where you get the best price, period. Moran has shipments arriving daily. They're going to have the vehicle you're looking for. So you can score your best deal, shop online, moranexpress.com, or you want to go out and test drive, stop by in person. They're on Gratiot, north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. I was surprised. I think you were surprised too.
About
AJ Hinch not winning Manager of the Year?
Well, I don't necessarily know that I was surprised that he didn't win Manager of the Year. I'm disappointed, but I'm surprised that he was third.
Well, yeah, that.
And it was only, what, one first place vote?
Listen, Stephen Vogt got it. They won the division. You could make the argument. I would disagree with it, but you could make the argument that Stephen Vogt is the Manager of the Year. In his first year with the Guardians, they won the division. I don't understand an argument for how AJ Hinch finished third. I think the argument for him to win the whole thing was pretty clear cut. And I don't know if everybody paid attention to just how miraculous it was. We did locally. I don't know if the baseball writers at large were really, truly aware of what happened. They sold at the deadline. They accomplished something that hasn't happened in 50 years. They dug themselves out of that deficit and made the playoffs. And they did it with 1.5 starting pitchers and 11 rookies. I'm sorry. He did more with his roster than any other manager in all of baseball. That, to me, is the definition of Manager of the Year. Not the team that wins their division, the best team in baseball. I think it's the manager who manages the best. It's Manager of the Year. AJ Hinch was the best manager in baseball, and I was surprised he didn't win it, and I was doubly surprised he didn't even finish runner-up.
Right, and that's kind of the most disappointing part was watching and vote. All right, you win your division. It's your first year managing. I get the reaction. I get some of the reactionary votes. But how many of those actually looked at the job that had to be done from start to finish? From how much better the Tigers played in the final 2 months of the season versus what you saw for the first 3 months?
Well, and I'd go a step further. The brand of baseball they played required the manager to do more at bat by at bat.
I would ask AJ all the time, like, how mentally exhausting is it for you that you don't have somebody that you insert as your leadoff hitter or as your third or fourth in the lineup, that you are always juggling every single lineup? And then once you finally settle on a lineup, then you got to figure out who you're going to pitch, when you're going to pitch them, who you're going to pitch them against.
I just think it's clear that some of the baseball writers thought AJ Hinch wasn't doing a good job.
There's certainly questions.
They answered that question themselves, didn't they?
Yeah, apparently they didn't think he did a good enough job. But to be the active manager he was, where you're platooning guys, where you're making mid-game pinch hitter adjustments plural on a game-by-game basis, not to mention the bullpen where they'd throw 5, 6, 7 arms out there and he played the matchups every single time and he played them nearly perfectly. That to me is managing. You could say he was over-managing, but he needed to to get that team where they were at the end of the season.
How many wins were strictly attributed to the strings that AJ Hinch was pulling?
A ton of them.
Because the strings he was pulling, more times than not, in fact, at a high percentage, they worked.
Yeah. And we've seen people, conspiracy theorists, go, oh, it's because the writers
still holding the Houston against them.
Yeah, the Houston thing against him. Do you believe that?
Oh, I think, yes, I do think that writers aren't a spiteful bunch.
Okay, point taken. Point taken, they are. I shouldn't have anything to do with it, but maybe it does. I mean, he's not even on the same team. It's a completely different season. It's a completely different...
And he paid his time for the crime.
He did. I know we had those conversations locally when he got hired, and second chances, and clearly he deserved a second chance, and he's made the most of it.
Yeah. And how many years down the road is this now? Like, when does that go, or does it never? And for writers, trust me, it never will.
Texter says, AJ Hinch was the best manager at the end of the year, but not all year. It's a recency bias. You have to factor in the entire season.
Okay, well, okay, if you're going to factor in the entire season, how about the pulling the strings on, and okay, not all his decision of when to send guys down and when to bring them back. In fact, probably not his decision at all.
Yeah.
But to be able to take the team that was that bad at the beginning of the year, make them better, same players, you didn't add anybody, I mean, other Sweeney, but that wasn't discussed at the trade deadline as an add. It was still a sell.
Is anybody surprised that Cleveland won the division?
No.
No. I think there are a lot of people surprised the Tigers made the playoffs. I know there were some optimists, but there were clearly questions about whether that team was going to make the playoffs.
Ask any Tigers fan, are you surprised that they made the playoffs this year? The answer overwhelmingly will be yes.
And I'm not saying from that point in August. I'm saying because he wants to zoom out and look at the whole season. Go back to March. Yeah, I think people were surprised.
May.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Before the All-Star break.
For this team to win 86 games, as they were constructed with a bad offense and a shaky rotation, to be nice, for them to make the playoffs speaks to A.J. Hinch's managerial chops.
Yes.
All right, 248-539-9797. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, everyone seems to be talking about the Lions. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick just raved over the team on the Let's Go podcast this week, and with Brady noting that you can't say enough good things about this team.
Yeah.
They had a lot of good things to say. Belichick raved about it too, about the physical mentality of the team. Mm-hmm. And
it's multiple times this year that those guys have gone out of their way to praise what Detroit's doing.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. One of the most disappointing seasons in Jets history claimed another victim on Tuesday. The Jets fired general manager Joe Douglas with 6 games remaining. This firing does come just 6 weeks after Robert Saleh was fired. Now, Douglas did not have a contract for 2025, and it's long been believed that he would not be brought back for next season. But apparently the decision was made after Sunday's loss to the Colts. That loss was kind of like, all right, he's out of here.
The Aaron Rodgers effect.
Yeah.
Well, and if you read some of the reporting, it seems like he wasn't even really the acting general manager the last few weeks anyway. They had overruled him and largely made him like a puppet GM.
You think Aaron Rodgers starts the rest of the season?
Yes. He shouldn't, probably, right?
That's the worst yes ever.
That's kind of what their season is.
Yes.
You guys, social media is fast becoming the place where adults consume information. There's a new report that has found that about 1 in 5 Americans admit they get their news from social media influencers instead of trusted news services or news sites. It says 21% of adults get their news on social media. And when looking at different ages, the report found that the number increased to 37% for adults under the age of 30. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
The younger generations spend more time on social media compared to 26% of adults aged 30 to 49 and 15% of adults aged 50 to 64.
How do you feel about that?
The issue that I have is, which news source are you going to trust? I think that's where a lot of people that are on social media are trying to figure out what do I even want to trust? I don't even know if that's where they're getting their news. How much do they trust it on social media? We know the pitfalls of that, but how, of the news organizations, who do you trust?
Yeah, it is a little scary to me. Yeah. I get it because I get a lot of things off of social media. Not news per se, but like I want to cook a new meal. Guess what? My recipe now is like coming off of TikTok. I'm watching this mom make a meal for her toddler. I'm like, oh, that looks good. And that's where I'm getting information outside of just news. But it's scary because
it's not vetted.
The news you're getting actually correct? So I understand it, but it can be, when you really think about it, a little scary.
I just want to know what Jim thinks about 21% coming up again.
We've said our piece.
Apparently, people are really upset over Tropicana and their new orange juice containers. So Tropicana customers are boycotting the brand after another orange juice bottle redesign. So they ditched like the distinct bottle that everybody knows when you see it. It's got like the tapered neck and the larger like twist top. Well, they've created a smaller, slimmer bottle, a little different design on the label because of the bottle has changed. And they've changed the size of it. So you're getting less juice. It's going from 52 ounces to 46 ounces. Orange juice fans are saying, hey, we're not seeing a price difference. We're still paying the same amount for this smaller bottle. Mm-hmm. I don't know. People are very upset about it. And they're actually seeing a big decrease in people buying the orange juice. In July, Tropicana sales dropped by 8.3% from the year prior. By October, dropped 19%. And apparently it all has to do with this bottle redesign.
Yeah,
it is a bland bottle design. Looking at this.
Now, one thing I would say that I wouldn't mind about it is that it would fit better. Like we put all of our juices in like the side of the door that opens.
Right.
You could fit more.
But sometimes it's about pourability.
Like that's
true. To be able to hold on to the old bottle.
That's true.
It's very easy. And with my hands, it's easy to hold on to the new one, but there's a lot of people that would struggle to hold on to, you know, it becomes a two-handed process.
I guess so.
No?
Am I not supposed to laugh at that?
Oh.
All right.
The two-handed process? Size matters.
I was waiting for, I was like, did he do that on purpose?
No.
All right, that's Heather with the news. Sharon Moore's next, 97.1. Wrapping up the show, we'll get to Carson Anderson here in a second. Just one more look at that college football playoff ranking reveal from last night. I thought we had a great conversation about it. Go back, Odyssey Rewind. But John, the takeaways. You got Boise State with a first round bye right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're you get the Big 12 team in BYU that is
the
projected to be the Big 12 champ. And they're last in, so they're number 12.
Now, they may pick up a ranked win along the way and flip-flop that before the season's over, but Boise may catch people off guard. They have a first-round bye if the season ended today. You also have teams from the South coming up north for all of the opening round games. Ole Miss would go to Indiana. Georgia would go to Happy Valley. Alabama would be playing in the Midwest. South Bend, Indiana against the Irish. You would get cold weather Big Ten teams hosting SEC teams if the season ended today. And then there's this question of how would they rank those SEC teams? Because there is a log jam, John.
Oh, yeah.
I think they did a good job. They had Texas, the highest ranked of the group, followed by Alabama, Ole Miss, then Georgia, then Tennessee, who is out as of today. And,
right.
And it's
and Texas A&M. And Texas A&M may actually play for the SEC title game, or in the SEC title game.
If they beat Texas and they can get in the mix there, yeah. I think they did the best they could. Bama and Ole Miss beat Georgia, so they have them ahead of Georgia. Georgia beat Tennessee, so Georgia's ahead of Tennessee. It's not perfect because Tennessee also beat Bama, but Tennessee has an ugly loss to Arkansas, and Tennessee had a rough, easy non-conference schedule. It's not kind to them at this point in the season. But we had a good conversation about things like what happens if Indiana loses? How many SEC teams would get crammed in? There's a real debate going on right now. Auto bids, auto buys. Tons that still need to get sorted out with this new 12-team playoff. And I think people will like some of it. They won't like all of it.
There is a chance we could have our first back-to-back game, too.
What do you mean?
Texas A&M. They play the last game of the season. Right now, and it depends on what happens with Georgia and Tennessee and what happens in the lead up, but right now in conference, they're both 5-1. And I forget who Texas plays this week, but Texas A&M has Auburn.
Longhorns play Kentucky.
Kentucky. Okay. So if they both win, they're both going to be, you know, 6-1 going into that final game. And if Texas A&M were to beat Texas, honestly, either one beats either one. There's a chance the way that the standings would fall that they could play each other again the following week in the SEC championship game.
Based on tiebreakers and potentially coin flips, and it does get really messy. The other thing we discussed is what about losing your conference title? An SEC team with two losses could pick up a third loss in that conference title game. Lane Kiffin said he talked to other coaches and said, well, some coaches don't want to play in that game for that reason. It's not worth the win to get the bye if a loss could keep you out.
Yeah, if a loss keeps you out, and it's so, yeah, you have the opportunity to get that bye. But if you don't play in the championship game and you're going to be in the college football playoffs, especially if you're going to jump somebody that does, that's your bye.
I think we had a good conversation. I think some people are hyperventilating about this stuff, and it's a little silly to me that like the fifth SEC team wouldn't get in or the fourth Big Ten team wouldn't get, like, you have ample opportunities to play yourself into a 12-team playoff. I really don't think we should have much sympathy for whoever 13 is in the 12-team playoff.
Well, the argument's going to be BYU or whoever comes out of the Big 12.
Colorado. It could be Colorado or even Arizona State.
I mean, so that's who BYU plays this week.
Yeah.
You mentioned they have an opportunity for a ranked win. Arizona State is an 8-win team, and they're ranked. And here's what Lane Kiffin had to say. So the reason that you would want to play in it, or the reason you wouldn't, all right, say it's Texas who already has a loss, and it's, I mean, everybody else has two losses, yeah, but it's gaining that third loss. Let's just say
put Georgia,
all right? Okay. Let's just say Georgia picks up their third loss.
Now what?
Are they done? Are you going to bump up a team?
Who gets in over them at that point?
Texas A&M. Because they would have two losses if they lose to Texas, and they're not in the SEC championship game. They're 15th right now.
They would have three total losses. Two conference losses, three total losses.
Three total losses, yeah.
So I think that they would still be out. I think Georgia with three would get in over A&M with three. The question would be someone like Tennessee, but yeah, Georgia beat them head-to-head. So I think even though Georgia would have three losses and Tennessee would only have two, I don't think Georgia would be punished losing in that game. Tennessee wouldn't leapfrog them. But it gets squirrely in other ways because let's say it's Alabama that loses in the conference title game and picks up their third loss. Tennessee beat them. Tennessee only has two losses and beat them. So Tennessee could advance in despite not playing, and Bama would be punished picking up their third loss. I think that's an area that Lane, speaking of right there.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the biggest thing is when you're looking at a conference like the Big 12, and right now their highest ranked team is at 14 in BYU.
Yeah.
And if they were to lose, and let's just say Colorado picks up another loss. If Arizona beats BYU, they'll bump up, but they're not going to bump up into the top 12.
Arizona State, yeah, they would bump up.
Yeah, Arizona State, yeah.
Yeah, they'd bump up, but not all the way. You'd have a two-loss. You could potentially have a two-loss Arizona State team win their way not only into the playoff, but then the debate would be them and Boise. Could they get a bye? So this is why I am against the auto buys. I'm cool with auto bids. Oh, auto buys, I think, can be unnecessary.
I don't think auto bids should be a part of it. I don't think you should just automatically get a seat at the table because you won the Big 12. Most years, you could probably look at it and say, yeah, okay, there's a team that deserves it. I don't know that this year's that year.
Gator, this is a deep conversation you walked into. All the scenarios, hypotheticals, college football season, baby.
Well, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Right? Whether you have four teams or you got 12 teams, you're going to have debate about who belongs there and why they belong there. And I think 12 is too many teams. I thought eight was kind of like a...
Eight would have been a sweet spot.
Eight was a sweet spot.
I liked
spot.
Eight, yeah.
But 12's too many. You're going to get all this controversy. And then, the way that the conferences are super built now, and they don't even have divisions. It's just...
Right.
It's so stupid.
It really makes it tough.
The conferences are too big. I don't know if there's any real solution. I think over the next few years, they're going to keep trying to tinker with it and figure it out and who's most deserving. And all of it doesn't matter because, in the end... It's just going to favor the blue bloods, and people get in by reputation. The SEC schools are all gathered there because of reputation. I don't know if they may all be deserving. I don't know, but
they are ready to feast on an Indiana loss. They are ready for Indiana to lose,
and then you don't belong because your schedule sucks. It's like, okay, well, they're beating everybody by a mile, and what if they play Ohio State tough on Saturday? Ohio State's not infallible.
Correct.
I could see this being a closer game on maybe even a one score game on Saturday.
I hope so. I'd love to see Indiana win this week. I'd love to see Army win this week.
I'd love to see everybody wants to see Army win this week, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Especially with those sweet uniforms. I'm not a uniform guy. We've gone over this many times. I talk about it with Doug all the time. But the Army uniforms that they're wearing this weekend, the film that they dropped to announce it, they're going to be sweet.
Yeah, I hope it's a great atmosphere. I'm just concerned about, their chances, I guess, given what Notre Dame did to Navy.
Yeah.
I mean, Army and Navy, obviously, are similar programs.
Sure.
Army's better, for sure, but...
How much better?
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. Doug, you've somewhat turned me into a uniform guy.
No.
Army.
You liked Army?
Yeah, I liked the Army. Some of it was just the 2-minute video that they dropped.
We bring this up during the Michigan broadcast, and John always says, I don't care. So whenever it's fashion or uniform talk, we go to Jason Avant. And Jason Avant had the best description of the Oregon uniforms. He said, I like the pants, but the tops look like they shopped them at Forever 21.
It was spot on.
That's a good line.
Football and stuff next.
All right, Carson Anderson, 97.1.